Luke chapter number 10, I want to start reading in verse number 30. I'll be reading out of the King James translation. If you have another version, it should be pretty close. Or an amplified version, it should be able, you should be able to pull the very meat and the very text out if you have a different version. But tonight I'll be reading out of the King James version or translation. Chapter number 10, St. Luke, starting in verse number 30. If you have that, say amen. Amen. The Bible reads like this. I want to start with the words in red. Our Lord, our Savior, speaking here, the tender shepherd. He begins to say these words. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he, speaking here of the man's house he was in, he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go and do thou likewise. I believe there's a great message there tonight. Can you say amen? I want to use this subject thought tonight, God being my helper, just for a few minutes. Half dead, but still holding on. Half dead, but still holding on. I want you to point your hands in this direction before I begin to preach this message and ask God that he would touch me tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm nothing but a vessel to be used of the Master. I have no ability within myself, Lord. I have no talent within myself, oh God, that would be able, oh God, to cap, oh Lord, this message, oh God, in the way, oh Lord, and to bring, oh Lord, the people's minds, oh Lord, into a place, oh God, of amazement, Lord. But God, if you will help me tonight, God, if you'll just shine on me tonight, Lord, if you'll overshadow me with the power of the Holy Ghost, I know this message can be effective tonight, God. Father, oh Lord, I believe this message is for this church on this very night of revival. God, I'm asking you to pour out an anointing in this house, God, that would be unmistakable. Pour out the power of the Holy Ghost. Pour out the power of your goodness and your mercy. And God, I pray that you would save, sanctify, fill with heaven, sweet Holy Ghost. You would heal, oh Lord, and deliver those that are bound. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Look to your neighbor and tell them they're looking about as good as they can tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of you didn't look at your wife and tell them that, did you? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to use this subject thought, half dead, but still holding on. I begin to take and I begin to seek God even this very day. I began, you know, he had begun to talk to me, and he had begun to show me some things and begin to reveal some things, whether you call just, you know, being in this thing when you've been in the, you know, evangelism field for a long time and you've been in the pulpit. You find out a lot of times you can just look at people and look at situations. You can figure things out. I know there's a lot of people telling that there's some kind of, you know, soothsayer or something. But some things are just common sense. Can you say amen? But there's other things that are discerned by God Almighty and the Spirit of God. And I believe the Lord began to give me some discernment on this message tonight. And as I come ready to preach this message, I just pray that God would help me. How many is going to help me tonight? I get a little nervous if you don't help me. If you get quiet on me, I get nervous. So how many is going to help me tonight? Amen. But I see here in the Word of God this passage. We've heard this passage time and time again. How that the Good Samaritan is a passage that we've been taught from the very foundation of Christianity. How this Good Samaritan, this man that was not necessarily a priest. Come on, somebody. He was not necessarily even a deacon in the church. He was not necessarily even in the lineage of the priest or the Levite. Can you say amen? Because the priest, we found out, didn't have time for the hurting. We found out that the Levite didn't have time for the hurting. But somehow we find out that the message is that there is a man called the Good Samaritan. And he was passing the way of a man that was taken. And the Bible says here that he was half dead, laying on the side of the road. He was there, and the Bible declares unto us that this certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and somehow he fell among thieves. We understand that the Bible and Scripture declares unto us that Jerusalem and Jericho, there was a place which we want to call the Jericho Road. And I can tell you, if you have never been through trouble, if you've never had any problem in your life, if you've never faced any sickness in your life, hang on, honey, there's something that's called the Jericho Road. That Jericho Road is a road that you pass down, and you're going to find sometimes there's trouble. Sometimes there's problems. Sometimes when you got everything figured out, you go down the road clicking your heels with a big pocket full of money. Everything's looking your way, and all of a sudden something happens from left field. You didn't see that ball coming. You didn't see that thing falling from the sky. But all of a sudden you're facing trouble with the finances. You're facing trouble with the body and the flesh. You're facing trouble at the church. You're facing trouble on your job. You're facing trouble with your children. All of a sudden, it seems like things are going all right. But all of a sudden, when things look good, trouble comes from somewhere. Is anybody facing any trouble in the house tonight? Amen. But I can tell you this, listen. Bible declares unto us that this place was the place that he had come from. And the Bible said that he had came from, he had went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now we know that Jerusalem was a great place of finance. It was a great place of trade. It was a great place of commerce for the Jewish people. And not only the Jewish people, but many people come to that city. Oh, Jerusalem, I like to think about that great city and how that you can take and walk down them roads, and all of a sudden that that beautiful city, Jerusalem, appears. A great city of trade, a great city of commerce. It was a lovely city, but it was nothing like what they say the beauty of Jericho was. Jericho was a beautiful place. It was a place also that you could get what you wanted. It was a place of trade. It was a place of commerce. It was a place that the salesman could take and you could get what you want. It'd be like living maybe down in a little valley or around this area and having to come up. I can tell you there's no mall as big as the one in Christiansburg that I know of. In other words, when you want to go to one of the malls, like I suppose Dillard's is there or some of the other, I don't know if Dillard's is there, but whatever, the big stores, when you go down to Christiansburg, you can go to a big mall. Can you say amen? You ladies know what I'm talking about. Us men don't know nothing but Walmart. Amen. But I can tell you this. If you want to go to the big stores, you got to go on Christiansburg, or you may have to go to another place in Virginia. But you can't find it out there on Spring Glen where Brother and Sister Bynes lives. You got to go into the big city. But the Bible declares that this man, he took and he had been in that place he had went down, he said, from Jerusalem. He had been in Jerusalem. No doubt he had went there and he had made his trade. He had made his money. He had took and gave everything. Maybe it was a crop that he had to sell. Maybe it was some furs. Maybe it was some other kind of commodity. Maybe it was dates. Maybe it was something from Jericho. But the Bible declares that this man, no doubt after tradition says that they would go and sell their goods in Jerusalem and get their money. And then they would return and they would go to Jericho, to the beautiful city, to have a good time and to enjoy their increase. But when this man headed down the road back to Jericho, the Bible said something happened to him, and it was not a good thing. The Bible said that when he went from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among thieves. Can you say amen? How many knows there's a thief out there? How many knows that there is a thief out there? I'm going to tell you, I preached a message one time, there's a thief in the house. I can tell you he's here. He's wanting to kill. He's wanting to destroy. He's wanting to sap your victory. He's wanting to paint you a picture of gloom and despair. But honey, I'm here to tell you that the devil's a liar tonight. God's people's not in gloom and despair. Glory to God. But God's people is on their way to heaven. And we might be sick in body. We might be facing some financial difficulty. But it will not sap our joy. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you, the Bible says this, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you, God's will is not for us to be sick. Come on, somebody. Amen. I can tell people today, I've heard somebody say, well, I'm just going to take and I'm sick and I'm just going to give God glory in my sickness. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't want you sick. Come on, somebody. I said, if you really want to give God glory, don't go to the doctor. Don't take no medicine. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you say, well, God's getting glory out of my sickness, well, I can tell you, take a medicine bottles, flush them down the toilet. Might as well give God all the glory. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't want you to be sick. I can tell you, God didn't make you sick. The devil's the one that made you, oh, glory to God, sick. God may have allowed it because he knew that he could trust in you. But I'm here to tell you, God is not the one that puts sickness on us, but God is the healer and the healer's in the house. Oh, glory to God. Somebody lift your hands and praise him, because the healer is in the house. Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Isn't that what the Bible says? In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm going to tell you, how many believers have we got in the house? Oh, glory to God. I don't know how you interpret that, but that means if you're a believer, if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you got royal blood flowing through your veins, you have power to lay them on the sick and they shall recover. I mean to tell you, oh, they may not recover in our time, but they will recover in God's timing. God's going to get glory out of healing the sick. Amen. He's going to get glory out of raising up the one that somebody's robbed from. He's going to get glory out of pulling you out of financial difficulty. He's going to get glory out of, oh, when you're laying on your back and it seems like you can't go another mile. God gets glory out of lifting you up and saying, my power is still sufficient. I'm still on the throne and I still have power. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. My God, I want you to see something tonight. This man fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. You ever felt like somebody had stripped you of something? I'm going to tell you, I've heard people lie on people in the church. Come on, somebody. Oh, where are you going? Don't get too nervous. Listen, I've heard people lie on people. Matter of fact, I've even heard people tell the truth about people. Come on, somebody. Strip them. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you, the only person that needs to be able to strip somebody naked is God. Come on, somebody. Now, I've learned a long time ago, keep my tongue off of people. Amen. Because God can deal. I can tell you, God's still able to turn that streetwalker into a preacher. Come on, somebody. I said he's still able to turn that drug addict around. He's still able, oh God, my Lord, he's still able to take that soul that's wretched. He's still able to take that old soul that is lost out. He's able to take that soul that me and you would say, we're going to give up with him. We could walk by him and say there's no life left in him. But honey, I'm going to tell you, God's still a God that is able to take the ones laying in a ditch, raise them up, pouring the oil and the wine, set their feet on the solid rock, and lead them to living water. Amen. I still believe, now I might be crazy, but I still believe in 2008 that we still serve a God that can still save. I still believe we're still serving a God that can raise up a man to go overseas, preach the gospel to 10, 20, 30, 50,000 and watch them come in and make a decision for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I can tell you, we still serve a God. I found how big God was. Just the last time I was here. My Lord. You know what? I'll tell you what God can do. God can take a death in the church, and he can turn it into the life for how many people? My Lord, how many people got saved? 15 people got saved. My Bible says, you know who's dead? The Bible said that those sinners are dead in trespasses and sin. But I'm going to tell you, God took and had a death of a loved one that we had to see go on ahead of us. Oh, glory to God. But we were able through that to see God raise up 12 people or 15 people that would take and come from death unto life. Because somebody was praying, because somebody delivered the gospel, because somebody reached out to the lost. My God, listen to me. This man, the Bible said, was laying on the side of the road. He was stripped of everything that he had. They even stripped him of his raiment. You know what? A raiment in the Bible days was everything to somebody. Raiment was what told people what position they were in society. You can look at one's raiment. That's why the Bible said in the Word of God, when the Bible says when they come into the crowd, one's going to come in with a good suit on. He's going to have a nice ring on. It's not going to be a seersucker ring. It's going to be from Dillard's, honey. It's going to be, or not Dillard's or Zales or wherever. It's going to be a diamond ring. It's going to be a big ring. And the Bible says that there's going to be some come in rags. They can't afford even a ring from Walmart. They ain't going to be able to afford nothing. But the Bible said you treat them the same. I don't care how their pocketbook is, how they look on the outside. You treat them the same and you show them the love of God. Amen. You see, at the cross, we're all on level ground. Amen. Whether you work at Freightliner, or whether you work at Wendy's, come on somebody. Come on, amen. You on the level playing field. Whether you a captain in the police department or whether you are just a jailkeeper, you're on level ground with Jesus, amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible said that this man was stripped of his raiment. He was stripped of his dignity. He was stripped of everything that meant something to him. He was stripped of all his finances. He was robbed, and the Bible said that not only that, that they wounded him. I'm gonna tell you, Brother Greg, it's pretty bad. Me and you go out there, we decide to go to a restaurant tonight. One thing's pretty bad if they take all our money. That's gonna be a pretty bad loss, ain't it, son? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Greg may not have much in his wallet. He might be saying, ain't too big of a loss, brother. Come on. It's pretty bad if they take all our money in our wallet. It's pretty bad if they take our watch and our nice pocket knife or maybe a nice set of, a money clip or something. It's pretty bad. I'm going to tell you, when they start beating on our face, Brother Greg, we start fighting back, but they overpower us and they wound us in the ribs. They wound us upside the head. I'm going to tell you, it gets bad, saints of God. I'm going to tell you, let me tell you what the devil will do to you. Don't you ever bargain with the devil.